God wants to do some stuff. And so I just really feel, I just want to be closer to you. You know, last night I hardly had any sleep, but for a good reason, because I was just having such an encounter with God. And it was like God was revealing to me in a deeper way who he is as Father, and just going into deep places of my heart. And it's not like I was purposely closing off those areas of my heart. I felt like I was completely open to God. But actually, there's something about God just taking me deeper and showing me areas of my heart that actually there were barriers to him coming, and I kind of closed them off. And God was coming into those places. And I just feel that that's what God is wanting to do this morning. That he wants to reveal to every single one of us in this room a greater revelation of who he is as Father. And to get into the deep places of our heart. Areas that are closed off. You know, for some of us, there are areas of our heart that have been closed off for so many years that we don't even realize anymore that they're closed off, because we've just learned to live with that pain, maybe from things that have happened to us in our lives. And, you know, God, in his gentle way, in a way that brings safety to us, is just wanting to come this morning into those places. And so I just want to go with the flow of what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do with us this morning. I haven't got a specific agenda. I've got certain thoughts in my head, but I'm just wanting to go with the flow, because I don't want to miss the opportunity that every single person in this room has to have that fresh encounter with God. And, you know, I just want to say, if you're like, feel like kind of already dismissing that that's for you, because you think, oh, that happens to that person over there, that never happens to me, or, you know, we can think we're too old, or we're too young, or we're this, we're that, and disqualify ourselves. But I just want to say to you that no matter who you are, where you're at, what's happened in your life, God wants to encounter you afresh this morning in a deep way. And, you know, I feel that this isn't just about this morning, that for you as a congregation, that God is taking you into a season where he's wanting to reveal to you more and more who he is as Father, who you are as sons and daughters. And it's like, about a month ago now, we had a guy called Carl Wills, who some of you may have heard of him, some of you may not. He's a prophet. He's part of the Pioneer team, Pioneer, that River Church is part of that network. And he came to minister to the leaders. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but I do remember that when he was praying for Slough, he said that prayer and worship was an important thing for you guys. I don't know whether it was for a season or just generally. And so I keep on feeling that. And so I was thinking about that yesterday, and actually then feeling this sense of God taking you into a season of revealing himself as Father to you, that actually I just encourage you as a church to take the place of worship seriously in this season, because it's in that place that God is wanting to reveal more of himself to you, take you into deeper intimacy and friendship with him than you thought was possible. And it's out of that that fruitfulness will come. It's out of that place of deep intimacy, because Slough, the town of Slough, is an awesome place, isn't it? Such opportunity for the love of God to come and change it. And God's going to use you. Woo! But he wants to use you out of the place of knowing who you are as sons and daughters, and knowing who he is as your Father, because that's what the town of Slough needs. They need to know the love of the Father. And so we need to know that ourselves, and just bring that out of the core of who we are. That we can, no matter what age we are, mother and father, the people of this town. So I don't know if someone, that blanket over there, could we like bring it here, and could we kind of move this front row of chairs out, if that's okay? And my wonderful intern, Kelly, who is like a dream. she is obviously here with me today, and I asked her to bring her guitar because I just feel like it's important for her to sing over you guys, and for especially for the worship team, I feel like it's important for you to receive as well. But I'm just going to ask her to sing, and we're going to see what happens. But I just want to ask you guys to come out if you're able to, and let's come together. For some of us, we want to need to lie down or kneel. If you need to sit down, I just still want to ask you to come out and maybe bring a chair with you. But there's something about us being together and receiving something from the Lord as a family rather than spread out. Is that okay? So can everyone, if possible, come out here and either kneel, lie. If you need to sit down, bring a chair with you. We've got nice blankets so you don't want to get dusty from the floor. And just don't worry about what's happening with the people next to you. This is about you. Just go to that place where you can connect with God and let him minister his Father heart, his deep love into your heart. And if you're like, I really want this, but I don't really know what to do. How do I do this? Just tell God you want to receive his love. And don't worry about it. Just let him do it. Don't analyze it. You know, as humans, we so easily analyze things. But just rest and trust that he's doing something.
For many of us, we have never known the love of a human father. And that can go from maybe especially the older generation, where they didn't feel that little boys especially should be hugged and cuddled. They've got to be men. It could be because a dad's been too busy to give you the time. It could be because you've had a father who's abused you. But for some reason or other, you've never known the love of a human dad, you know. And I just had a picture of my little grandson yesterday laying across the lap of his father at our house. And so many people have just never known that. And it's very, very difficult to think of God in the light of being a father. We know he loves us. We know he's a friend. We know he's a brother. We know he's everything that we stand in need of. But the relationship with God as a father comes difficult because we've never known the human love of a father. And so I just feel God saying to close your eyes and have a mental picture of lying across his lap with your arms around him and just feeling, you know, the physical love of a father that maybe it could be for the first time.
For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And Lord, we just thank you that we've received that spirit of adoption. And we just welcome you now. And for some of us, although that spirit is living inside of us that says we're sons and daughters, but we're actually not living in the reality of it. We're still living as though we were an orphan, one not adopted. We're still living under fear. And God is just wanting to come in and just release that revelation of adoption, that spirit of adoption in our hearts. Changes the way we think, changes the way we see ourselves, changes the way we see God. It changes everything. And so I just, at this point, just want to ask if, like, you might not fully understand it, or maybe you're at a place where you do understand, where you just know that the Spirit is prompting your heart, that you're not living in that spirit of adoption that is available for us. If you feel that's you, if you just want to put your hand up and the people around just pray for you. So if you're like, I want to be living in that spirit of adoption and I just know I'm not. And this is not like a judgment where we're at all. But we just know the Spirit's putting his finger on something. If you just put your hand up and let's just pray. If you just, those who are not putting your hand up, just look around and maybe just go and pray with people who are. You know, if you know there's an orphan thing going on in your deep core, where God is wanting to release his adoption in, even if you don't understand it, but your spirit is being, yes, that's me. Is there anyone not being prayed for who'd like prayer? Yeah, there could be other people, maybe feel a bit scared to put your hand up, but this is family, and it's in this place where we can minister to each other. Yeah, I'm just going to share some stuff now, but I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable, but I feel I'm kind of someone who likes to do things prophetically, and I feel like us sitting close next to each other is important in what God is doing with us in family. So it'd be great if we could stay here. If you need to get a chair and bring it, then feel free, because I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable. But Kelly's just going to carry on playing while I'm preaching, which I know we don't always do that kind of thing here, but I just feel that's what we want to do. And if you want to carry on lying down and just soaking, feel free. Because God is still doing stuff in our hearts. You know, sometimes we don't always understand what God is doing in our hearts, and that's okay. Just being open to allow him into those places is good. You know, when deep things happen, sometimes we don't realize for a while what's actually happened. But we just trust that it's good, because God is a good God. You know, for some of us, maybe our dads or our mums actually spoke harshly to us, which was, you know, obviously that was talked about earlier in the word that was brought. And, you know, words, they can release life or they can release death to us. And some of us have been actually carrying words maybe from 60 plus years ago, you know, that actually those words went into us and actually kind of created something of itself, and it's like they're a part of us. And, you know, maybe lack of confidence that we have in certain areas, certain fears we have, certain ways that we see God and we see how he interacts with us, and it goes back to these words. And, you know, if the Holy Spirit is showing that to you now or in this season, you know, the good thing is that God can turn that around. Even if you've carried it for most of your life, God is a restorer. He is a redeemer. And I just encourage us all, I encourage myself, you know, let's listen to the word that the Lord is saying over us at this time. You know, whether it's through scripture, through the prophetic word, through the words that we hear God say to us personally. But I just encourage you to not entertain the lies. Don't entertain the thoughts that are not from God and give them root in your heart, but actually be proactive in, you know, when sometimes, you know, thoughts come in, words come in. And we have a choice as to whether or not we're going to entertain that. You know, it says to us in scripture, take captive every thought and put it to the obedience of Christ. And so I encourage you to be, don't be passive, be proactive. You have a choice. And, you know, it says to us in Romans 12, and, you know, I talked about this for those of you at River Together back in January, that, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, if you're like looking for transformation in your life and just feeling disappointed because it hasn't come, you know, look at the way that you think. Are you proactively agreeing with the word of God, or are you agreeing with, you know, lies? And so, you know, write it down, speak it over your life, even if you don't really believe it. Keep on declaring it until you do believe it in your heart. Because it is so important. That's such a tool that we have to overcome. And we're all called to be overcomers. So I just encourage you to do that. And, you know, in this season when God is revealing himself to Father, this is a really important thing to do. Because it's going to change you as an individual, free you to be who God's called you to be. And, you know, some of us have been through extremely painful life circumstances that just make us feel like, well, is God really a good father? Why has this happened? This is so painful. It's more painful than I can bear. Even those situations, God wants to come into and bring healing in. You know, when we have deep pain, lies attract themselves to it. And resentment comes in. And it just is such a destructive thing. And so, if you're in that place, I just want to say there's hope for you in that. That God can come in and bring healing, but also set you free from those lies that have attached themselves around that pain and actually bring destruction into your life. What time do we finish? Di was the first person to speak, so I'll take what she says. So I just want to read the prodigal son, which is obviously probably quite an obvious passage to read when we're thinking about God as Father, but just feel like there's some fresh things for us here. So this is Luke, if you want to go in your Bibles, it's Luke 15 verse 11. So this is a parable, it's a story that Jesus told, and Jesus used to use stories to help us understand who he is and who our Heavenly Father is. You know, it tells us in scripture that Jesus is creating the likeness of the Father, that Jesus came to fully explain who the Father is. So when we encounter Jesus in scripture, we're actually encountering our Heavenly Father. And so Luke 15 verse 11. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf. Kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. Yay. You know, I just want to talk first of all about the older brother in this. You know, for those of us who've been Christian, who are, you know, who follow Jesus, sometimes we could maybe resonate more with the older brother. In that, there he was, you know, following every command, faithfully serving, just getting on with it, in his father's house. And yet, he didn't know the fullness of what the father had available for him. You know, he's actually kind of like living as an orphan, even though he was actually a son in the father's house. And kind of seeing the way that his father treated his wayward brother really brought that to the surface in that parable. And he's like, you know, I've done all of this. I've served faithfully. I've obeyed every command. I've always been here. I haven't gone off. I haven't squandered your wealth. And yet that brother of mine, he did all the most awful things, and yet you're throwing a party for him. What's that about? And he's failed to understand the father's heart for him. In that the father's like, yeah, but everything I have is yours. It's available to you all the time, every day. And you know, we can like be in the church and not know the fullness of what it means to be a son or daughter of God. We cannot know the fullness of our immense inheritance as sons and daughters of God, of what Jesus has achieved for us on the cross. And we can become angry, like the older brother did, and bitter, just feeling like it's not fair. It's not fair. Why is my life the way it is? Why is it like this? And, you know, God is wanting to come and minister into that in our lives, that we can have a revelation of the fact that, yes, we are those treasured sons and daughters who God wants to party with, who God has made everything available for us, that he wants us to experience his relentless love. And for some of us, we've taken on an identity as a servant rather than as a son or daughter, that we're actually comfortable with serving. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't serve God, but primarily our identity is not as servants. It's as sons and daughters. And out of that place, out of our love for one another, we serve. But we're not primarily, that's not what it's all about. It's not about serving. God just loves us. He wants to be with us. Yay! Is anyone else excited? You know, again, I mentioned Carl Wheels earlier, but he spoke at our Journey Weekend Away in January, and the thing that's most stuck with me from that is he was like, he kept on saying to us, you know, God just finds you irresistible. And, you know, it's all very well to, you know, especially when maybe we've known Jesus for a long time, and we'll be like, oh yeah, of course he finds me irresistible. But actually, do I actually really know what that means? Do I actually believe it? You know, I've been like working that through with myself. Do I actually believe that God finds me irresistible? That he is so passionate about me that when I speak to him about something or ask him for something, he wants to do it because he just can't help himself. You know, it's like I realize that I don't really believe that, and I'm on a journey to believing it more. I believe it more now than I did a month ago. You know, and for my own self, I don't have any children of my own, but my sister had a baby last year, and so I have a niece. And it's been quite amazing to know, as many of you who are parents will already know this, the kind of love that you feel just for this tiny little baby who hasn't done anything. And I'm just like, oh, she's so cute. Give her to me. I want to hold her and have her to myself. And, you know, I'm excited to see her and things. And, you know, God is talking to me through that about the way that he feels about us. That deep love that isn't based on what we do for him. It's just who we are. You, who you are right now. You never did anything for God. He just is still going to find you irresistible. That's amazing, isn't it? And sometimes, you know, maybe we had that revelation, but actually because of busyness of life and faithfully serving God and through the ups and downs, we kind of begin to move away of it and moving more towards the servant thing. I'm not saying that that happens to everybody, but maybe for some of us, we found ourselves in that place. And actually God is wanting to draw us back to that revelation that primarily we are sons and daughters who are adored by God, who are welcomed into the Father's house, the place of extravagance. And maybe for some of us we're like, that sounds great, but I find it hard to truly believe it in my heart because of things that have happened in life. I just want to invite you on a journey that will say, okay, God, this is really real. I want to get to that place. But you're going to have to help me because I have got no idea how I'm going to get there. Because just imagine if all of us in the Church of God really knew who we were as sons and daughters, really knew the Father's extravagant love. It's going to change everything, isn't it? If we really knew that no matter what happens in life, that we could find everything in that place of the Father's love, that he could sustain us through whatever pains we may go through, and we can still find fullness in him. That's going to change everything. You know, it may be like for some of us, we feel a bit like the first son. You know, when I read the beginning of this parable, it just hits me like, if I had sons and they came and asked me for their inheritance right now and I wasn't even dead yet, like, I think I'd be like, what on earth do you think you're doing? I'm like, I would be pained by that. You know, I don't think I'd be wanting to give them the inheritance. And yet, the way that the father is in this parable, he just kind of freely gives him what he asks for and allows him to go and do what he does, even though he actually makes incredibly damaging choices. And I just am amazed at the way that God will just be like that with us. He allows us to make our own choices, to do things that maybe are not the best thing. But even when we do that he's still waiting and longing for us to come back and be his children and for him to love us in that extravagant way, because ultimately that's all he wants, is for us to be his children and to be our dad and to love us in this extravagant way. And so, you know, that just always amazes me. And so, you know, we see this son, he goes off, he makes these terrible choices that just bring such damage, and he just thinks, I'm not worthy to be a son. Even my dad's servants are treated better, have got a better life than what I've got right now. And so, in that place of complete desperation, he decides to go back into the Father's house. And I just felt that for some of us, maybe we might not have stopped coming to church, as it were, on a Sunday, but actually in our hearts, we've gone off. And we've maybe made some choices that have been damaging for us, done some stuff, and we just feel in this terrible dark place, just feeling terrible about who we are, not feeling worthy to be sons or daughters. And in that place of desperation, there's an invitation to come back into the Father's house, that God is waiting there with open arms, not judging us, not like, why have you wasted your life making these bad choices? But he just wants to come and party with us. He just wants us back because he's so desperate for that deep relationship with us of father and son, father and daughter. You know, for some of us, maybe that triggers something in us. We're like, yes, I'm in a place of complete desperation. I've made some choices and it's damaged me. And I've just got myself into this place, and maybe I've been there for years and years and years. It doesn't matter. The loving Father is there waiting for you, wanting, he's just longing for that back. He wants you to be in that place, being his son or daughter again. So, you know, I'm just believing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. You know, I've just shared a few simple things of what I feel that the Father's heart for us. And I just encourage you, if that speaks to you in any way, don't just ignore it. Go with it. Invite God in deeper into those places. Choose to grapple with revelation. You know, I really believe wholeheartedly that Jesus has already accomplished everything on the cross, that he's made everything available for us. But in that place of friendship with God, it's not like we strive to get the stuff, but there's something about just actually pushing through with God to get hold of what's already available, that it's kind of like as we do that, something gets changed in our hearts, that we're able to receive the revelation. And so I want to encourage you to be a people that will just relentlessly go after God, not striving, being like, oh God, you know, as though God's not going to do it, but actually in a confidence that God wants to give us that revelation, he wants to give us that healing. But it's actually in that place we make ourselves vulnerable for him and we open up areas of our lives that he works through with us step by step in the pace that we can take to deal with these things. And I just know that from my own experience, you know, there are things that come up and I just know, God, I need breakthrough in this. I need revelation in this. And, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe it's like we have to spend hours with God. For some of us, that might be like, what? Hours? I wouldn't know what to do. That's okay. Just work with where you're at. But actually, as I push into God, he gives me that revelation. He gives me what I need. He changes the way I think. He deals with stuff in my heart. He never, you know, whenever I set myself to go after God about something, he never ever leaves me disappointed because he finds me irresistible. But, you know, sometimes we have to take that time and space out to be with him to actually get hold of that. And if you do that, you're not going to be disappointed. And if you don't know how to do it, ask someone who you think might know how to help you walk that. But God is not going to disappoint you. So yeah, let's just pray. Yeah, Lord, I thank you so much for this amazing congregation here in Slough, Lord. Thank you that every individual here is amazing, is your son or daughter, is special to you. Lord, that you just long to be with them. Because you just think they're amazing. And I just thank you so much for that, Lord. Thank you for the destiny that's on this congregation, Lord. And I thank you that you are drawing them into this season of discovering you as Father. that's going to revolutionize each one of them and revolutionize this town. This town that needs to know that there's a loving, good Father. And so, Lord, we just ask for all of us for a greater revelation of what it means to be your son or daughter. That you'd come and bring healing into our hearts. That you'd renew our minds. That you'd bring revelation. And Lord, we know that when you do that, that then we'll know how to mother or father this town in a way that shows people who you are. So yeah, let's just take a minute, just be in silence before God. And just, Kelly, you can just continue to minister over us. But just in that place of silence, just go to that place we can connect with God and just hear what he's saying over you. This reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So yeah, I just encourage you to continue on this journey that the Spirit is taking you on. And, you know, you've got an amazing leadership team here. And I just want to honour the leadership team. Myself and Colin went and had an evening with them about a week ago, and it was just such an amazing time in the presence of God. And Colin and I were like so excited. We were like, they're awesome team. And so, you know, these guys are going to be leading you in that, but let's go together in this thing of the Father revealing himself to you and all the fruit that's going to come from that. And just one last thing and then I'll hand back to Shay. The whole thing about hugs that was talked about early in the word that was brought, I just feel that for some of the guys, you know, it's always like a bit scary to say a word to the guys when you're a woman, but I'll just say it anyway. I feel like for some of you, maybe actually there's going to be a lot of healing in receiving a hug from another guy. And so, you know, Paul, hopefully you don't mind. Maybe if you're feeling like that, Paul needs to give you a hug. Because, you know, I just feel that for some people, that's actually going to bring incredible healing. Great. Thank you.
Wow. Feels like a good family reunion. I just sat here. The only missing thing is someone to take the family photograph. Oh, it's just an amazing time. And we just give God the glory. We just give God the praise. I don't know, just tell God you love him in your own words. We'll be done in a minute, but just tell God you love him in your own words. Just let him know how much you love him and how much you're grateful. Oh, God, we thank you. Father, we just want to say we thank you for your love. We can't have enough of it. We have to have more. And we will have more because with you there is more. There is always more. There is an endless supply. And we tap into it. We connect to it. We connect to it. We thank you, God. Holy Spirit, we are grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen.